This is Foolish Adventure, episode 44. Don't sell your passion, use it. Welcome to another episode of Foolish Adventure. I'm Izzy Hyman, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Tim Conley. Hey, Tim.
Yo, what's up, Izzy?
What is up, Tim? How you doing?
I am doing okay.
You're doing okay? Yeah. We should probably tell everybody right up front that your health is a little bit in... not so good right now.
Yeah.
You've got a cold or something?
Yeah, I caught a cold from my daughter. She's been sick for the last week, and I've been fighting it, but nursing a kid back to health, it eventually catches up with you. So, and it has.
Well, the good news is that you're here anyway, that you're pushing through this intense sickness to be able to get the message out to the people, right?
I think a head cold does not count as intense sickness.
Okay, I guess it's all relative. So we're waxing philosophical once again today. We've been having a little chat before the show started, and now it's one of those things where we just got to hit the record button and start talking about this subject. And that is that, you know, we've talked a lot in the past about how somebody can pick a passion and pursue it and build a business out of it. And then you, Tim, had suggested this idea. How did you summarize it? Is something like you can use? What is it?
Well, I actually didn't come up with this. And I really wish I would have kept my notes as to where I found this. But someone recently wrote an article about using your passion versus selling your passion. And we've talked a lot about selling your passion.
Okay, so an example of this would be, let's say I'm very passionate about photography, and so I decide I'm going to start my own business where I'm actually doing photography for other people. I'm selling my passion. That's the idea, right?
Right.
So, and the problem with this is that a lot of people find out that when they do it for work, they lose their passion for it. They don't love it anymore. You know, if it's their source of income. And I think I've mentioned before on the show that my own personal theory is that when you're doing it for somebody else versus doing it for yourself, it's two totally different things. I mean, I know that's the way it is for video for me. If I'm doing a video project that is actually somebody else's project versus something that's my own, I'm a lot more passionate about my own projects. So this idea of selling your passion is when you're actually selling what it is that you're passionate about. But using your passion, what's the distinction there?
Well, using your passion could be the things that make you good at something, that make certain things interesting. So for me, I have a real passion for business. I like different aspects of it, mostly the marketing side of it, you know, not the operation side. But, you know, so I have this passion for that element and love getting involved in my clients' projects when we're creating a new marketing program or something like that. Designing a new product, whatever. Those things I can get really passionate about. They're not my thing. And I'm not even passionate about the actual company's things, right? If I was, you know, I'd probably be doing that business. And so I have certain skill sets that also contribute to this. So I have a passion for marketing, and I've then developed skill sets around marketing, and I like to use them in other people's businesses. So in that case, I'm in one aspect, I'm selling my passion, right? My passion for marketing, I'm selling to someone else. But in the other side of it is I'm using a passion for something to work on things that I'm not actually that passionate about.
So it's like, if I understand this correctly, the idea is that you're stepping away from what it is that you're passionate about. You're basically stepping away from that and looking at what it is that attracts you to that. What are the things that, I don't know, maybe you're hardwired for, or the things that connect with you, that resonate with you. And then you take those things and then you can use it in your work. And that's how you could be happy, even doing something you're not super passionate about. I'm trying to think of an example of this just off the spot. But, you know, going back to my photography example, you know, maybe photography itself is something I'm passionate about. But what is it that makes it awesome? It could be I have an eye for composition. Like maybe I really enjoy composing things or capturing, you know, memories, or I have a passion for lighting. Or, you know, these types of things. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Well, yeah. So like be off the air when we were talking about this, you know, I mentioned the pool company that I had. I had no interest in a pool company.
So anybody who doesn't know you like me doesn't know that you had a pool company,
right,
probably.
Right.
You used to have a pool
company. Right. As a consultant, I moved to Tempe, Arizona, and this guy showed up, and he was wearing flip-flops and a tank top and a ball cap and cut-off shorts, you know. And he turned out he was about the same age as me. And found out that we were making about the same amount of money per year, yet he didn't have to put on suits and ties. He didn't have to.
So that attracted you.
Did not have to kiss up to board members and CEOs and stuff like that to get a marketing thing going. You know, like if he wanted to make money, he just went out and sold somebody. And I'm like, hey, I just came here. The real estate boom was kicking off, actually had been going for a couple of years by that time. And so I'm looking at a growth industry. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to invest in this. I didn't even know what it did.
This guy owned a pool company?
Yeah.
This
guy had a pool service company. And so that's what I thought. I would just invest in a pool service company and then that would be it. And it would just generate cash for me and all this stuff. But in less than 2 years, I had built up a start from scratch pool service company into a pool remodeling company. And with pool service and everything, we were doing billings of over $50,000 a month. And a good portion of that was mine.
Wow.
And, we had, because I built it to have great margins and it was just... It seemed awesome on the surface.
Yeah, you look at it and you go, "Oh my goodness, it's a nice cash making machine."
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It made lots of cash.
It's
every
a growth
month.
Industry because real estate was booming.
Yep, and it was growing through that whole time. But I didn't actually like the business. I loved the customers, but I just really didn't like the whole aspect of the business. I wasn't really a great manager, so that made it harder. I interviewed managers and all this stuff, but I could never find the right fit for the kind of customer service oriented type personality to plug into that. So it wasn't going that direction. So then I decided, I think it was 2006. Yeah. So it was the summer of 2006. We're doing like $50,000 in billing. And I just said, that's it. I'm done. And I started selling off pieces of my company, started selling off routes. I started downsizing. And then I shortly after that, I got it down to me, a part-time office person, and one technician in the field. And I was using outsourcing people to come in and do major repairs and remodeling. So essentially, I took what we were doing and turned it into... really a sales force to sell like remodeling aspects and things like that. And I got it down. And so I was still making really good money, but I still wasn't really happy with the whole, it just didn't fit me. But that was an area where I was very successful with something that I wasn't passionate about. And in some cases, I would even say I actually hated certain aspects of my business.
There were certain aspects that you liked too, I imagine, though, right? Or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, the customers. Loved mm-hmm. the customers, right? And I guess that's kind of, I have a sales kind of background, sales and marketing. You can't make a lot of money if you don't like to sell stuff to people. So... And I really enjoyed customer service, working with all my customers, and I would contact them personally and stuff. So there were certain aspects I really enjoyed, but then just the management headaches that come from having people scattered about all over the Phoenix metropolitan area, and you can't manage those people, right? They either have to be self-managed or they're gone. Because they're going, there's no one watching over them, and I had turnover. Even when I had some really great people, if I had really great people, we're in a boom industry. So I have a great person. They either would go off and start their own business, or then they would go work for a competitor, and it was like a never ending cycle of always trying to find really good people to put into the field.
my experience isn't anything like that. I never had my own pool company or anything. But in my previous, quote, life, I guess, when I worked for corporate America, I was a sales manager. Before that, I was a sales rep, and I would do business-to-business type sales where I'd go in and do cold calling and presentations and things like that. Well, there were lots of things about that job that I didn't like. I mean, I did not like all the rejection. I did not like being told no. I didn't like people standing me up after I drove across town to go and meet with them, and I was all excited. Maybe I'd spend a couple hours preparing for a presentation, and then they wouldn't be there. I mean, you know, there was all kinds of things I didn't like. You know, every once in a while I'd have a boss that I didn't like, or, you know, things like that. But it's funny, if you would ask me on any day of the week, you know, do you like your job? I would have said, you know, not really. Or some days I would have been like, no way, I got to get out of here. But if you would have asked me like right after I made a sale, I would have said, yeah, I love my job. I'm awesome at it and I love it and it's great. You know, it's funny because back when I was a sales rep, I'd call Noelle a couple times a day. And in the morning, I might be like, man, I got to find a new job. And then the afternoon, I'd be like, I rock at this. We're going to get the President's Club, you know, and all this stuff. So, you know, I just kind of shift back and forth, I guess. And so I guess the reason why I even bring that up is because there are elements to everything that you can be passionate about, that you can love, that, you know, and then there's elements. I mean, I shouldn't say everything. I imagine there's probably stuff that isn't. But even now, there's things that I do that I don't really love to do, but the overall thing I'm definitely passionate about. And there are some things that I don't love to do, so I don't do them, or I might try to get somebody else to do them. Or if it's not super important, like I said, I don't even do it at all. You know, there are things that could be plugged up in my business that would probably make more money, but I don't want to do them. I don't like doing this stuff, so I don't do it.
Yeah, in one of our previous episodes, the last one from this one, I mentioned a good way to make money is to start wherever you're already making money. And a lot of people look at where they're currently making money, which is their job. And they go, I hate my job. And in some cases, that may actually be, you know, true, like completely true. Like you really hate your job. But there's a lot of people out there who are really good at things. Like you were really good at sales. And so it's like, okay, I don't really like my job, but I'm really good at selling things. So maybe it was just the environment in which you were in. And a lot of people, it may be the environment they're in the corporate culture they're in. It could be something other than the actual job, because it's usually hard to be very good at something that you truly hate. Like you just won't do something that you hate. So you may dislike certain elements of it, but you're really good at it. So there must be something about it that there must be some other passion that you're actually using that allows you to be good at your job. So maybe finding that, whatever that is,
yeah,
to build your business.
Yeah, for me, definitely the thing that I enjoyed most about my position right before I struck out on my own was the training part of it. It was the training. It was working with new reps and training them and going through hypothetical scenarios and, you know, role plays and this kind of stuff, training them on the skill sets that you need to be able to do that business-to-business type sales. But I took that and I carried it over to my new thing where I'm training on video and training on now building businesses and things like this. This is the stuff I like to do. I like to train and, you know, basically teach and train and coach and mentor, that kind of stuff that I really get into. Now, the calling on the phone and taking rejection over the phone stuff, didn't really like that, but had to do it in order to get to the other stuff.
But you're not doing that now, correct?
No, I'm not
but
doing it now.
But you are training now, though, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, so, I've eliminated a lot of the stuff I don't like.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But so you're still using certain elements of your past life.
Yep.
Now, because you were good at those things, you actually liked those things, but all you had to do was eliminate the things that didn't fit, the things that that created an environment that was not best for you.
Yeah, like reports, you know, reports TPS. On Monday. Yeah, the TPS reports. Yeah, that's a nice allusion to the movie Office Space. Is that right? Is that the right movie? Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. So
I hear you're having a problem with your TPS reports.
So I guess, you know, and the other thing is that I think of somebody, I'm not going to mention any names, obviously, because we're recording this, but I think of somebody that I know that says to me, you know, that said something like, you know, I'd really like to build some sort of a business based on a passion, but I don't really have a passion. I don't really, honestly, I really can't think of anything. I work And then I come home and I clean and make food and take care of people. And then I work and then I come home and I clean and I prepare food and I take care of people, you know, just stay on top of the little things that fill up your life.
Right.
You know, and so, and to be fair, a lot of that might be television or, you know, other things that really don't have to be there, but you know, right. people feel busy and it, and like we were talking about before the show that there's, you know, a lot of people really feel a need for escape, which is totally justified, you know, based on their condition. So anyway, so what if they don't have a passion? Part of me thinks that maybe somebody who looks at the opportunity says, man, I would love to, but I don't know what my passion is, or I don't have a passion. They might be putting a little too much pressure on themselves to come up with something that they feel like they'll enjoy for the rest of their lives.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if I go, whoa, I don't want to start a business that's about video, like training on how to do video, because I might only like video for like 5 years or 10 years. And after that, what will I do?
Right.
You know, so I shouldn't put that kind of pressure on myself. In fact, one thing that somebody might want to do is just, you know, pick something and then apply what you're talking about, which are the things that you like to do, apply that towards whatever the niche is or whatever the topic is. You know, you could look and see what people are excited about right now. I mean, right now as we do this, people are excited about Charlie Sheen. I don't know how you'd build a business around Charlie Sheen scandals, but anyway. So,
well, I see people out selling t-shirts and stuff like that. Though in those cases, those aren't really businesses. Those are just opportunities.
Yeah.
Right. A lot. But you can build a business on opportunities. I've met some guys who do, who create products like t-shirts and do affiliate marketing stuff, all based around events. Well, the event's going to go away. But their whole business is they do the marketing necessary to drive traffic to something that then sells something that's based upon either the season, like, you know, Halloween costumes or something. And then it's gone. It's gone for until the next year. And you know, that's you essentially using the passion of loving opportunities. I like getting a deal. I'm going to craft deals for people. Right. And then that's the passion that they're actually using. They could probably care less about selling Christmas ornaments and selling something to a big festival or something. You know, they probably just don't care. It's a new election. Like all the stuff for Obama when he got elected. I was in D.C. for the election, and like everywhere you went, there was somebody on a street corner selling some sort of Obama memorabilia. And well, afterwards, if you still had stock left, it probably wasn't worth very much. But during that time, that short time period, that stuff was worth a ton of money. People were buying posters for like $20 and t-shirts and hats and just all kinds of crazy stuff. If you could put Obama's picture on it, it was being sold in D.C., so that's an opportunity. Once it's gone forever. So some people really dig that kind of thing. It doesn't really matter what they're selling. It's just that they love to sell an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, you could build a business around anything. And if something that you're interested in is leadership, you know, like if you want to be a leader and that's something you're passionate about and you enjoy doing, for the most part, enjoy being a leader, well, build an organization to sell whatever. I mean, you could sell a can of sugar water. Right. And what's that story? Something about Steve Jobs recruiting a guy and says, do you want to spend? Oh, shoot. John Sculley. Is that his name? Oh, man. I can't remember his name, but he's trying to recruit a CEO from another company. I want to say Pepsi, and says, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or do you want to come change the world? You know, and then he recruits him over and gets him over at Apple. That was like a real famous. I know I just butchered that, and we're right. Gonna probably see comments. I probably got the company wrong, the name wrong, the quote wrong. I probably got all that stuff wrong. So,
but it's the idea.
But it's the idea that matters. You know. So I'm a big picture guy. I don't want to get bogged down in the details of memorizing who said what and exactly how and all that. So. Anyway,
yeah. So like in that case, somebody who is a top executive selling sugar or water, right? It's kind of hard to get really passionate about selling something like that,
or Heinz ketchup.
In a big gigantic organization, kind of hard, right? But they do, because they're passionate about other things. Either they're passionate about team building, or like Tony Hsieh in Zappos, he's passionate about building the culture of his company. You know, those are the things that they're truly passionate about. Tony Hsieh likes shoes. Oh, lots of people do, but you know, he likes building a culture so much more that he's willing to devote almost his entire life to it. You know, his every waking hour is devoted to building the culture of Zappos. So that's what his passion is. And so it may not be the actual item that you're selling. You know, your passion, you may not be selling your passion, but you're probably going to be able to using your passion to be able to build a business.
So this is cool. I mean, the idea is instead of selling your passion, you can use your passion as you build something else, as you sell something else or whatever. It's a cool concept. I like it. And, you know, it's food for thought. And every once in a while, it's good to just sit down and think about things and get clarity. And then you can, you know, get back to work and do something awesome. So anyway, hopefully you get some inspiration from all this. I don't really have anything else to say, Tim. Do you?
Other than enjoy your foolish adventure.
Thanks for listening to Foolish Adventure. If you found this information helpful and want more like it, please visit foolishadventure.com. Do you have specific questions you'd like us to answer? Leave a comment on the website. Who knows? Maybe we'll create a whole show to answer it. Also, we have a voicemail line where you can ask questions. The number is 480-331-4695.